Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that guy for sure.
Was it?
Was it just the staff at the St. Hollywood that did that?
It was just a limited number of us. You know, we still have to social distance, and you know, you're not allowed more than what is it, like five or six people in the same spot. So it wasn't all of us, but it was a good little time. You know, it was nice to see them too because it's been so long.
Well, yeah, it's been, if you see someone every day and you socialize every day and you work with them every day in a fun atmosphere, and then all of a sudden after 2 months, I would imagine
then you can't see them.
You get a little weirded out because that's, you know, all that's taken out of your life, right?
Yeah, so there you absolutely. Go. 11 years, man. 11 years we were there.
I know. It's hard to believe. That length of time that the bar has been open and all the bands that have played and all the people that everyone has met and the experiences that everyone's had. It's you know, even though I do this little thing for my show, I still feel that there's a bigger story to be told somewhere down the line about what happened at that bar, right?
Oh, for sure. It was a special place for a lot of people.
Hey, how did you start at the St. Hollywood? I'm a little fuzzy on all of this stuff because, like, here's my recollection of you. When I first came into the bar, I was still working at The Hawk at that time. And I was coming in to see some shows, and then I know we were going to start doing, we were looking to do a setup of the live to airs, you know, faster and louder.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember when we did those. Those were great. Yeah.
But it was like way back, like in the beginning when I first met you, I think you were just, someone said, oh, yeah, that's Carl. He's like, he breathes fire and he's a referee for women's roller derby. And I'm like going, does he do it at the same time? I don't understand. Like, is that how he enforces the rules? Like, that's the only place where no one ever explained everything to me. It was kind of like a partial information, and it was up for me to, like, decipher, what the hell did they do? Who is this? What?
Yeah. Well, I got involved in roller derby. That was sort of at the beginning of, 2006 or 2007, I think.
Yeah.
So I knew Jody and Glenn through that, and I had sort of known Lou from his time at the Corktown. So it was very natural. And when they bought a bar together, I was there helping out, you know, we helped build the stage and build the sound booth and raise that back floor. Like, we ripped it all up. So I was there just helping, doing odd jobs and things like that. And, one night after we were ripping up the floor, I was out front having a beer and, Lou was kicking this guy out for whatever reason, and this guy started, you know, just getting up in Lou's face and being all aggressive, and I just stood up. I said, you know, enough of this, and sort of helped Lou just backed him up and sure. got rid of this guy. And I was joking at the time because Lou offered. He's like, oh, thanks, man. You know, I'll buy you a beer. And I was like, ah, save the beer, Lou. You know, one of these days I'll hit you up for a job. And he stopped right away and he said, oh, do you have your smart serve? Like, are you a bartender? And I, you know, I had been a bartender for several years at that point, but not in Hamilton, I used to do it in the States and whatnot. But, yeah. And he just stopped right there. He said, I need you tomorrow. Apparently they had a huge show ready to go. And, their bar back had quit the night before.
Right, right.
And he was just in a bind. And yeah, so that was my resume. And then Jody called me up the next day and said, you know, oh, apparently you're working for me now. And I was like, yeah, that's what Lou said. So yeah,
that's so funny.
And that was it.
It's a totally believable story knowing Lou. Like, wait a minute. I need a bartender. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All the adventures in working for Lou Molinaro, for sure.
Okay, so that's how you got started there. And you were so that started back like 2006, 2007.
Yeah, and Mary was working and Becky was there, Kathy, Tammy, Darlene. It clicked, you know. We already knew each other. We'd already, you know, been friends for several years at this point. So when I jumped on, it was just natural, you know.
Yeah.
And never left.
Yeah. So so a lot of your duties there, from what I gathered, was like, yeah, okay, sure. You have to help out where you have to help out, and we always need a person like that in our life. You always need that extra person to come and go, okay, don't worry about this, I got this. But you seem to be the I got this guy. On a number of occasions. We just heard the Robert Gordon story last week from Briscoe about how you had to like completely set up a stage to bring in some of the guys from Teenage had to rehearse Robert Gordon songs for the last.
Yes, day. Yes. Yeah. I was working that shift. And actually, Briscoe was really the one that, you know, made that work.
Right.
But he did get, and total props to him, but he did get a couple things wrong in that story. We were there till about 6 o'clock in the morning. I think he had said about four.
The
sun was definitely coming up by the time we all got out of there. So yeah, it was a night, and those guys practicing over and over and over again, like, just, you know, because they wanted to get it right for Gordon, you know.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, like he said, that Robert, you know, he only had like three or four songs of theirs to learn, and he didn't really do his homework
as well as
good old RG, man. Oh, I love the guy.
Born to lose, and now I'm losing you. Born to lose, and now I'm losing you. Now you say you can't see me. Well, go ahead, just wait and see. Yeah, you'll be sorry too. Born to lose, I know you want me back. Born to lose, yeah, you want me back. You hurt me so. If you come back, I'll make you go away. But you'll come back someday. Back. Born to lose.
So what other shows that really stuck out for you? Because it is 11 years, and I don't expect you to, like, recite 11 years of music. But, like,
there are so many. Like, I remember, you know, meeting Jello Biafra when he came with the Guantanamo School of Medicine.
Right.
And, John Spencer, that was a crazy, crazy night.
Jello Biafra, is it true that he carries his own soap with him? This is the rumor that I heard, that he has to have his own soap.
I didn't see any soap.
No soap. It was such a
busy night for me, just serving people that I really, we only talked briefly and helped him to get onto the stage because of the sea of people
right
between that side door to the stage. We had to clear the way for him.
When that show went down, was that pre-air conditioning or after air conditioning?
I think we had air conditioning, but it was not very good.
Right.
Yes, because it was definitely a sweaty one. And when you put, you know, close to 200 people in that small room, I don't think any amount of air conditioning would be enough.
Fighting for basic human rights. That don't mean I heard anymore.
So you mentioned John Spencer Blues Explosion. Was that where the ones
you did? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, they had said, you know, like, we are a notoriously loud band. We suggest that you sell earplugs. And we were just like, oh, I can't wait for this. And my Lord, was it a loud show.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I got to tell you about the fabulous, most groovy Bell Bottoms. Bell Bottoms.
Was it the loudest show, or was Varga the loudest show?
Oh, Varga for sure.
So Varga was the loudest in the bar ever?
That I worked, for sure. I mean, there was definitely some bands that they had like the ripping bass, and you could feel it in the taps as you're pouring it, you know, like that. But that's just bass. But as for a powerful, loud show, yeah, I would put my money on Varga, yeah.
what is the most chaotic show you've ever seen in that bar? I was talking to Greg the other day from Blandlord, and Greg said, you know, it was packed. It was like for fun and dancing and moshing and everyone looking out for one another. He said the TV Freaks, he said, was put on the best shows in his opinion.
Oh, those guys are incredible, right?
Yeah.
Those guys are so fun.
But was there other shows that you can recall that, you know, that many people in it and being well behaved? Because I remember the odd time you and I over the years would have to gently escort someone out of the bar.
Yeah, it happened from time to time, from time to time, but not all that often, right? But, you know, out of 11 years, it probably only broke up like a handful of fights, which is great.
To be honest with you, I've never really seen that many altercations there. Only the ones where I was involved in. It was just like, hey, buddy, you've had too much drink. You know, let's go outside. You know, there's no need to be carrying on like that.
Yeah, because we don't really attract that type of crowd, right? And the people that we do attract are very self-governing, and we are, you know, we all have each other's backs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've never felt unsafe, you know, and it's just, the way that things go when you're that close with people, everybody has your back, you know, and
well, it was kind of like a family thing. Family
and so people outside of that want to cause trouble, they're not welcome. Yeah. And, you know, they don't come back, which is nice.
Okay, so we talked about the TV Freaks and Varga, you know, loud, really super loud bands, John Spencer, and that. What were some of the quieter shows that you enjoyed that came through that bar?
Oh, the quieter shows. Oh my God, he threw me a curveball there. I was just thinking about Haymaker shows and things like that.
Oh my God, we didn't know what Haymaker, here, did we?
And now we're talking about acoustic stuff. Oh my God.
Well, maybe I'll play some Haymaker later on in the interview to close things out.
Absolutely.
There was like Peter Case came through. There was all these other smaller
Ben Kaplan. Right. Oh my God, yeah, so many.
Ben
Kaplan.
Yeah,
you totally true. Yeah, Ben Kaplan. He's a very funny, very entertaining guy.
I didn't
guy.
See Ben Kaplan there, no.
Oh, no, he was great. Yeah. And I think his parents were actually at the show, so some of the stories he was telling, he had to, friendly censor it for his parents, you know. I think he was talking about playing a game of checkers, and is one of those... Yeah. One of those games of checkers that you can both win simultaneously, you know?
Oh, in front of his parents. How nice is that?
I went down to the river, blowing out onto the sea. On my way to the ocean, let the spirit swallow me. I got low down in the water, I let the current guide my bones. I got 9 kinds of trouble, I'm just trying to find my way home. Some years of living and 1,000 wasted days. I have loved a lot of women, many times I've gone wrong ways. And I came down to the water for a dip to cleanse my soul. They keep telling me that I'm just a babe, but baby, why do I feel so old? Fine line that cannot be bent, and I felt like a river run dry, but I don't know where all of the rainwater went. And I believe we were all dead or dying, but I see different in the blue light. There is no such thing as a dawn or a dusk, it's daylight until it is night. You gotta fight through the demon, you gotta run into the west, you gotta rage against the dying of the light.
living man who hasn't run out of his last bit of breath.
As far as this in Hollywood goes, you were the Friday, Saturday night guy for the longest time working there.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, those were my shifts pretty much since Darlene moved on. I think she had Thursday nights and worked those busy shifts until she moved on, started working for Sonic Onion.
Yeah.
And then I sort of, Jody came up, she went, do you want to be... take Darlene's spot, and yeah.
Cool.
I just, that, how many years ago was that? Wow,
that was probably 7 or 8 years ago. Maybe
something like that. Yeah.
Another question was the one I was thinking about the other day. Did you ever get in trouble for spitting fire? Because you would do that in a troupe, from what I understood. But then the odd time I would be like, I remember I would go down to the bar and said, "Someone's outside spitting fire." And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? What's going on? What? What's happening? What?
Yeah, no, I had talked to some police officers while spitting fire, but never given any tickets or anything.
Yeah.
And I did it at a lot of bars, like at Doors Pub, you know, I've done it inside the Casbah. I've done it inside the Corktown.
So, it was just like this bar trick or something that you learned how to do, and then all of a sudden, you know, just like, hey, you know, get the butane out and show us how you do it, that sort of thing. Or were you involved? See, I always pictured you as like part of a troupe or something.
Yeah,
like,
well, I got involved in Circus Orange years ago through the Art Gallery of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And once I'd met Tom and Rebecca at Circus Orange, you know, it really just changed my life. And then, you know, I just wanted to, instead of swing fire around, I wanted to, you know, blow stuff up and be on that side, like,
sure,
rigging explosives and putting on a, you know, a totally different type of spectacle.
Right.
And they did the super crawls every year until this last one. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever have any, like, lose your eyebrow experiences doing stuff like that?
No. You know, a couple of little singes or whatever, but nothing too bad. I mean, you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
Stop
you know?
A second. You play down an awful lot of things in this conversation. You play down so much, it's unreal. It's just like, you know, hey, did you ever lose an eyebrow? Oh, no. Just a little singe here and there. Define a singe, sir.
Well, I remember we did some pyro, like a waterfalls across that bridge that goes from Jackson Square to that parking garage.
Okay.
And I was there keeping eye on this tree that was in, you know, close enough proximity that we needed to be there ready just in case something happened. And there I was looking up at this tree, and a spark, you know, a piece of fire just landed right on my mustache, right up my nose. And I just brushed it away and kept, you know, doing my job and watching, making sure this tree didn't catch on fire.
Right.
But all I could smell for the next week was burnt hair and sulfur. You know?
Oh, what a joyous.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
So it was the fire breathing one. Okay. All right. Now I got to clarify just one thing. And this is for some of the women that are listening to this show. As you know, I am privy to a fair amount of messages via social media. Gmail and other things, and a lot of people ask questions about, say, staff or someone at the bar, and some of these women that sent me messages want to know how you got the name Hot Carl. Now, is it because of the fire breathing? I would just assume that. Or is it because of your
overall
general sexiness in kung fu kung fu clothing at the bar?
I would like to think that it was, but no, it was that was my roller derby referee name from day one.
That's it.
I went in to volunteer, and I had, you know, my friend Adam had told me to come and check it out, and I was, once I finally met up with the derby folk. My name is Carl, and it was Chainsaw Mary almost jumped across the table. I said, "Are you hot, Carl?" And that was it. And they had no idea that I spun fire. They had no idea that, you know, that was even on the you know, the horizon. And so after I'd ref my first game down in Dundas, Market Street Arena, we went back to Pepper Jack's, and I just broke out the fire spinning stuff, and they lost their minds. Yeah, so they were chanting my name, and
okay,
yeah.
Well, this is a rather tamed down version of what I expected for some strange reason.
It's a multifaceted name, you know.
Yeah, but Carl, when I used to get hit with these questions when I come into the bar, and you know, and people, these women, you know, that would send me messages about you, I'm like thinking, okay, well, wait a minute. The guy, he's traveled a bit. Maybe he was doing a traveling porn show. I don't know.
Hey, you know, I've got options. I got options now.
Know,
I'm looking for,
I don't know.
Looking for a new job after
I didn't
all this.
I really know you all that well. So I'm like, thinking, hey, you know, maybe the kid was doing this. You know, maybe that's how he got the name. You know, I didn't know it was just from roller derby.
That was my roller derby name, yeah. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that you just, once you're given a chance to you know, have a name like that, you can't let it go, you know?
Yeah.
Like, come by it honestly.
All right, I'm going to give you the awful question. And this is, I don't give it to everyone, right? But I just thought, you know, because everyone's like 11 years of music, everyone.
Carl's a good sport. He'll answer it.
Carl will take a shot at this one. Your last show that you want to see, if you could, give me three artists that you'd like to see at the bar, and then they lock the doors. That would make you feel good.
I would, and you know, Wally and I have talked about this. Three Hamilton guys that do solo acts, or maybe not solo, but I want to see Lee Reed. You know, he was supposed to do a show before this all closed down. Him and Nilla. I would love to see Wax Mannequin, you know, play there one more time, and you know, of course, BA. Like those three are very different genres of music, but still just so entertaining, and Hamilton guys, you know, I want to see those shows again. Hey, everybody. This is Hot Carl from This Ain't Hollywood. Just saying thank you so much for all the good times. To all the owners, to all the staff I got to work with. I love you all. To the regulars, couldn't have done it without you. You're the glue.
Kill shot, ill thoughts, pox, cough from death spots. It dropped the cock that mocked the compliant. Slingshot rock that fought the Goliath like. This is insurgency. Burn the court, the cops and the attorneys. And Gucci furnishing. This is mutiny. Boost the truth, the debate for community life. This is a revolt on your regal eagles and symbols of evil. Both houses and all steeples. The control freak pop, old type of people. It. This is the dissident, rap and hit back with the fact and statistic and truth like weaponry. Burn the effigy, burn the effing shit it representing it. This is protest, see, no bless obligation, you SOBs and we boot the streets, the peeps, the breaches. Besiege the war to greet then defeat them. This is tactical, battle rap that gone combat, they capital that true radical map for collapses and aftermath that about to happen. Like, this is sabotage and cause for a long pipe bomb type song. Movement building, force unyielding on the streets and field till we build a millions, man. This is disobedient, people power creature, triple feature, true teacher. You best believe it, out moves and tweets and your hi-fi speaker like. This is the front line, thought crimes is applied to they fault line. Survive by any means alive with me, fight the beast with a mic devices, see. This is defiances, slingshot rock that fought the Goliath, that full-blown riotous violence. Fuck your system, fuck your tyrants, right? This is a fist up, full-blown revolt on your system. The sick, the tired, the victim, resistance, the future's not too distant, no. This is a fist up, full-blown revolt on your system. The sick, the tired, the victim, resistance, the future's not too distant, no. Madam Guillotine, swing, madam, swing, madam, swing.
Cut like the guillotine. Cut like a guillotine. Cut like a guillotine. Cut like a guillotine.
Okay, let's take it from here.
It don't make no sense. Humane with evilest intent. The truth is like a gas spreading through the vents, making the banks repent till our hearts content. Still, they got the nerve to ask, like, how come we keep them fists clenched? The reasons for that be endless. Written in the prison bars and picket white fences. State paid henchmen, heavy pig stench and though the profit ran our ways, them dollars they ain't never stopping. The game builds upon the losers and monopolies the object. The world's now toxic, but you already knew that. The main question is still, where the hell the food at? And the genetically modified ingredients combined with dollar signs to try to relieve the itch.
Dollars rule earth, the dollar sign. Right, the dollar bill. Fill a field with the grave till it yield crop, causing loss. Poverty's costs are shocking, while the profit pop from the boss's pocket. Say dollar gained at the expense and pain of most folks is left broke, hopeless. Voting's a rope of dope, but a lot more rope than dope, though you know. Oh, dollar earned, burn the earth, made the dirt out of your wages. Hey, slave labor's great for stock trade. Boss favors on the top payment. Say dollar kills, fill the earth full of holes. Sold to soul to finance it, to frack and refine the finest shine they gon' find on the surface or inside of her.
Dollars rule earth, the dollar sign. Right,
dollar slaughter, sons, daughters, tables of water, blood's gon' spill, ecocide kills, charts the ill versus the profit yield, you feel? Dollar plotting, count the coffin, count the grave, count the dollars made. Oligarchs hate to pay the wage, they've made an art out of the legal slavery. Say dollar lies, hide the truth behind the guise of a common interest.
We the victims, they inflicted it. Dissed and dismissed our coexistences. Dollar burns, Mama Earth's on fire. For guys in suits and ties, they despise all types of life. They designed this doomsday device.
Dollars rule Earth. The dollar sign. Right.
Yo, for the record, no one consented to these searches. The laws and declarations of this nation's emergence. Nah, nor its damn purpose. Pleasure man built over murdered clan hills, and they wonder why we nervous. Exterminated for the sake of dollars worship. Again, monopoly refurbishes organic perfection with that worthless merchant urges. For your meds, they got home delivery. For the homeless, they reserve that starving and the shivering. Tune in tonight at 10 o'clock to see the heavy price that some pay to be living free. And when the trust runs out, and all that's left is money's taste in your mouth. Most of y'all will say we weren't trying to get paid. We're just trying to make it to the next day, okay?
Okay, let's take it from here.
Dollar gave, dollar played, dollar made grave out of nation. Dollar debased the basics of living, willing to kill everything living. Dollar's a villain, dollar get paid, dollar make grave. Dollar make slaves, dollar make squalor. Dollar put nations in collar, dollar's the cause of all of our problems. The dollar, dollar gave, dollar played. Dollar make grave out of nation. Dollar debased the basics of living, willing to kill everything living. Dollar's a villain. Dollar get paid. Dollar make graves. Dollar make slaves. Dollar make squalor. Dollar put nations in collar. Dollar's the cause of all of our problems. The dollar. Dollars rule Earth. The dollar sign. Right. Commerce come first. The dollar signs. Right, squalor kills Earth. The dollar sign. Right, dollars kill Earth. The dollar sign. Right. The dollar sign.
singing, the answer is yes. You wanna see Van Halen? You wanna eat these mushrooms? Ask yourself, we gonna see Van Halen? Ask yourself, is David Lee Roth singing, the answer is yes. You wanna eat these mushrooms? We're all gonna jail, except Pete. Is it Budweiser stage? Is it Mosfet Amphitheater? I don't know where I am, but I know I'm freaking out. In Toronto tonight, David Lee Roth speaks to me personally. Pete runs away from security guards no one can see. I'm hanging on by the thinnest of thin, 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 thin thread. Are these $20 beers the only thing keeping me sane? Or are they making me more deranged in the membrane? We're all gonna jail, except Pete, he's gonna die. Make some mistakes of tonight, tonight, tonight. We're all gonna jail, except Pete, he's gonna die. Make some mistakes of tonight, tonight. As Pete runs off into the sunset, as fast as he can, I realize I may never have to look at Pete's pasty face like ever again. As I look up at the cosmos, I realize I am one with the universe, and I am one with David Lee Roth. I'm having a perfect transcendent moment at Van Halen tonight. We're all going to jail, except Pete, he's going to die. Make some mistakes of tonight.
Listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
So when a new show happens at my radio station at Mohawk College, The Hawk, I get pretty excited about it. It's like, what's it going to be? What's it going to be about? What genre of music? Or is it spoken word? What are they going to cover? To my excitement, I find out that it's some people that I admire on social media and also musically as well, and that I run into the odd time when, let's face it, when I was allowed to go to a music venue before all the coughing and sniffing and the sickness. Joining me right now is Dill and Tom from Pure Phase Radio, and they do a show on Mondays at what time, gentlemen?
8 to 10.
This was me trying to see if both you would say it at the same time and be in unison. And this social experiment proves what I enjoy most about duos and friends doing a show together. No matter how in sync you think you are, you're not that in sync.
No.
Gentlemen.
That's exactly our show.
Welcome to the show. First of all, how did the two of you guys meet up?
Dill, do you want to tell that story?
Okay, well, I'll go first. I was at Wendy's. That's our meet cute. And I just saw this guy with these two kids, and he had a cool hat on and looked
look rock and roll, which I always have a rock and roll meter when I, you know, meet people or I see people. I'm attracted to like-minded individuals, but I recognized him from Twitter. I recognized his kids biking and his, some of his posts. So I said, I think you're Tom Flood,
right?
Like almost a bit. Not shell shock. What's the word?
Starstruck.
Starstruck. Yes.
Yeah.
And in waiting in line for a frosty and grilled chicken sandwich and whatever else, kids' meal. And so then we just started chatting, and didn't really see each other after that until I ran into him at the Casbah. He was doing a night of spinning tunes for this show he calls Loaded, and with Dave Merkovich, and he was playing some Spiritualized, and I said, oh man, I'm going to see Spiritualized, I love this band. And he ended up coming with us, and my dad was driving, Bernie, shout out to Bernie Hudecki out there.
Yeah.
And he Tom and I went to have a great night at Spiritualized in Toronto at the Danforth, back when we could go to concerts, sigh. And right after that, that's where we met. And after that, we became fast friends, if not best friends.
That's how I remember it too. The Wendy's was a great meetup, and it was so great to run into you, Dil, at Casbah Lounge, because I needed a ride to the show. I didn't have a ride or anyone to go with, so it really worked out well. And it was so great when you were just on your way. You're like, you rolled in up to the house. And it turns out that